right. It's 8 a.m. Sunday morning. Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM and 1340 AM. The flagship station of the 2018 Western Conference Champion Expansion Vegas Golden Knights. We are streaming on the LV Sports Network and seen on all of our Facebook pages live. If you're listening for the first time, this is Out of Line, and we are here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9. I'm Brian Feldman. Directly in front of me, making sure you don't miss a thing, is producer and Lotus Broadcasting sports radio personality, Chris Magnum Chapman. And to my left on your radio dial, hooking us up on Facebook Live and adding his dos pesos at every given opportunity, is Jose Valonte, whose podcast, Straight Bet Sports, is weekly, but not at all week. Check it out. You'll like it. Follow this show on Twitter at Out of Line 1340 AM and on Facebook. It's even easier to remember. It's Out of Line. That's OUTTALINE. Without you, there's no show. So if you got something to say, the Fox Sports studio line is 702-876-1340. Use it.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
What's on Tap is pouring out thanks to Bubby's University on South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo, a great place to watch every game. What is on tap, Jose, my brother?
How are you going to ask me what's on tap when we talked about it last night?
We did talk about it last night, but
I'm just giving you a hard time. I'm going to go ahead and get to it.
We talked about it last night, but did they hear it?
Nope. That's why we're going to get into it right
Magnum,
now.
Magnum wasn't part of that conversation. Matter of fact, he missed my text messages at 3 o'clock in the morning.
But that's because he's sleeping. He's not up at 3 in the morning.
Why am I up and everyone else is sleeping?
I don't know. I ask myself that every day. But blazing is all about records falling in America's favorite pastime. Although it's not my favorite pastime, but something else that's blazing is the tickets that Brian is going to be giving away this morning. You and seven of your friends, if you like laughing your asses off, make a phone call to the show today, and we're going to hook you up. When you call, you'll find out what it is. We're going to ask you a question. Make sure you have the right answer. Not only that, the Vegas Golden Knights are keeping another player that can throw his weight around and occasionally put the puck in the net, which is a good thing for us as well. Not only that, Alan Snell is back with a unique LV Sports Biz Minute that compares team presidents. I'm pretty interested to see that one as well. The second half of the show is all about testosterone in the studio, baby. Roy Jones Jr., Las Vegas trained boxers, Randy El Matador Moreno, Max the Babyface Ornelas, Babyface Assassin, excuse me, Ornelas, and their trainer, Gil Martinez, will be here in studio today. Plus, we will fill you in on what's going on with the Las Vegas 51s and... don't forget, if you're not driving, you're either sitting around, laying in bed, pull us up on Facebook and get involved. We're on Brian's Facebook page. We're on Chris's Facebook page. Not only that, you can check it out on my page, Jose Valonte. And after the show, we put up all the angles on the Out of Line page, so you can't miss anything that we got going on today as well. And if you want to check in on any of the past shows or any of our podcasts, check out the page at lvsportsnetwork.com. Go to the podcast drop down from Out of Line. So... let me tell you one more thing before we go. That's what we got. Stick around. Brian's a better cure for a hangover than the hair of the dog that bit you on your ass last night. And I'm pretty sure that wasn't a good thing. This is Out of Line. I'm Jose Valonte. And What's on Tap is brought to you by Bubby's University, where you can earn your degree in food, draft beer, gaming, and the hard stuff. The only major is a good time. Bring your Rebel ID, and your first beer is free. You can enroll 24 hours a day. That means they never close. Bubby's University at 4570 South Hualapai between Tropicana and Flamingo. Go to bubbysuniversity.com for more information.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why. This is why.
Get a miss. Reach back 97 to end the fifth inning. That Scherzer, two Ks, Blocky's gone. They lead by one.
Time for the most in all of the Major League Baseball. Here's a pitch. There's number 200.
Aim for the pigeon, strike three.
Max Scherzer, a couple of Ks in the inning, eight, and that gets him to 200. First ever Nationals pitcher to do that prior to the 1st of August. And victim number 11, and that's 200 for Max Scherzer.
Happy birthday, Max Scherzer. Seventh straight season with 200 strikeouts.
Joining Seaver, Clemens, Walter Johnson of the Washington Senators.
Blazin' is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings in the Montecito Crossing Plaza, 215 and North Durango. Let's say it is a home run away from Centennial Hills Hospital. They've got two happy hours every day, And you know, it's America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And coming up in a month, we are going to be there every Monday night for Monday Night Football, giving away replica jerseys, wing parties. Make sure you come and check it out. That's Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango and the Montecito Cross of Plaza. Blazin', well, you just heard it. Max Scherzer is without question Blazin'. You just heard 200 strikeouts in seven straight seasons. He's led the league in strikeouts twice. Won the Cy Young three times, once in the American League with the Detroit Tigers, and twice with the Washington Nationals. The dude's a stud. 200 strikeouts, and we are not even in August yet. This guy, what are you going to say about Max Scherzer? Detroit, great move, man. Way to let him get away. How about another guy? I'm blazing all over Major League Baseball today. How about Rougdan Odor? Did you guys hear about this guy yesterday for the Texas Rangers? He went 5-for-5. Versus the Astros. And by the way, he was most of those hits came off of Justin Verlander, who's having the best year of his career, by the way. He might be 10-6, but look at the ERA. Including over half of those hits, again, two of them were home runs, two singles, and two doubles. One of those home runs was an inside-the-park home run. He's the second player in the modern era, which dates back to 1900, to go 5-for-5 with two home runs and one of them being inside the Parker. Guys, right now, I will give you $100 if you've seen it. Well, you've looked at the sheet, so I can't give it to you and tell you who was the guy that he tied for the record with 5-for-5 and two home runs in a game. Do you know who he was?
Well, it doesn't say it on
okay,
my
good,
sheet.
Good. I didn't want you to say
it. So you're lying to us.
No,
it's not
I thought it was. I've got it on my screen. All right, so I've got to cheat. Listen to this.
He's
got
my guess is Fernando Tatis.
Patsy Garrity in 1919 for the Washington Senators went 5-for-5. Check it out. The guy had 20 career home runs. Five of them were inside the Parkers. And really? Two of his 20 home runs came in the day in 1919 where he went 5-for-5. And finally, that record was tied yesterday by Rougdan Odor. Another guy you probably haven't talked or heard much about in Major League Baseball. That's because this guy spent 12 years in the minor leagues. How about Francisco Arcia for the Angels, the Angels catcher yesterday? His second major league game of his career, again, after 12 years in the minors. Why is he blazing, guys? Well, in those two games, he did something no one has ever done in Major League Baseball history. 10 RBIs in his first two career games, 4 in game 1, 6 yesterday. I mean, how cool is that? 12 years in the minors, 28 years old, you finally get the call, and you get 10 RBIs in your first two games.
I did know that one because I actually was watching the Angels game last night when they pounded the Mariners. Unfortunately, in Vegas, we don't get a ton of baseball. So, you know, when the game is on a Saturday night, I like to watch it. And the Angels happen to be. I was flipping back and forth between the Angels and the Padres, who got smoked by the Diamondbacks. But
Padres are trying to get Archer, by the way. Supposedly they're the front runners.
Why?
That's what I was asking myself on the way in.
For no reason. I mean, the bottom line is a guy like this to come into the majors, that's what dreams are made
of. That's blazing.
Of.
If you want to talk about blazing,
and the
blazing.
Cool thing is, he did something that no one's ever done before in the history of Major League Baseball. So chances of it happening again anytime soon are pretty slim. So that's way cool. And another guy I got to say is blazing. Another ex-Detroit Tiger turned Boston Red Sox. How about J.D. Martinez, guys? He hit his Major League leading 32nd home run yesterday. He's the second Boston Red Sox player in history to hit 32 home runs before the month of August. Big Poppy did it a few years back. He hit 37. But J.D. Martinez also, by the way, has the third highest batting average in the league. This guy's unbelievable right now. Seeing beach balls and the Tigers. See it. Let's go. Let's let him go be a Red Sox. So they're on pace to win 111 games this year.
It makes me fair, sick, dude. He did play for a team between the Tigers and the Red Sox. He was traded to the Diamondbacks last year.
Yeah, I know, for a year.
But
for
you know,
a year.
I mean,
he played great for the D-backs.
He did. He earned, you know what?
This guy is the real deal.
I think he actually came up with the Astros, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Initially, yeah.
So, you know, he's a guy who's bounced around, but because I think he's played for some bad teams in his career, outside of last year when he was with the Diamondbacks, I think it was his first playoff appearance, because he was on those really bad Astro teams.
He didn't get the recognition.
He never. He very quietly was one of the best players in all of baseball. The Red Sox threw a ton of money at him, which is what the Red Sox do, evil empire number two. Which is, you know, anyone who says, oh, the Red Sox, you know, they're not as big as...
They're 40 games over 500 right now. Yeah. 40 games over 500. We're not in August yet. And the Yankees are right there. They're both going to win over 100 games. You know...
That's ridiculous if that happens.
It really is. Listen, before we go on...
How bad is their division?
Yeah, but those two teams are two of the best teams in baseball right now.
The point is, the Rays... The Baltimore Orioles might be the worst team in the last 25 years in all of Major League Baseball. Putrid. They are a disgrace. They're so bad, they should be sent down to Double A. That's how bad they are.
Send the 51s back up?
Yeah, send the 51s up.
31-74 right
now. They're going to lose 120 games?
Yeah, they're disgusting. It's bad news. Before we go on, I want to talk a little bit more about baseball and football before we get to the break, but I do want to give away those tickets. Guys, check this out. We have some tickets to give away today, and we're going to give away vouchers, actually certificates. I'm going to give away 8 seats right now. How many times can you
win? If you want to laugh your ass off,
well, many times can you win 8 tickets to a show? Usually at the most you get 4. I'm going to give you 8. 2 vouchers for 4. You and 7 friends can go see the hilarious 7 at compliments my friend Sharon, who's helped me out, helps me out at another station, and she's just hooking us up, which is just phenomenal. And we're going to give this opportunity to right now. It's the hilarious 7. It's a brand new show, started a little over a week ago at Hooters Hotel and Casino. I went last week, a buddy of mine, a couple of friends, my daughter and her boyfriend, and I'll tell you what, we had a great time. You know, a couple of them were a little bit raunchy, but it's really cool. What it is you get 7 comedians. They each get 10 minutes to make you laugh. At the end of 10 minutes, they kick them off the stage. This big buzzer goes off, and they got to get off the stage. A couple of them were really good. Only one I didn't really care for, but, I mean, it was a great time, and you're getting 10 tickets right now. Here's how you get them. The Fox Sports Studio line, again, 702-876-1340.
Not only that, if you guys are watching us on Facebook Live or anything else, and you heard that phone number, you can also give us a call.
You can give us a call, and you can type in Facebook Live. We'll try to hook you up as well. It's a pretty simple thing if you listen to the show. If you don't, you got to figure it out, okay? But I'll give you this right now. All I'm asking for is, what NFL team do I follow? Now, simple. I've given you, I can't make it any easier. I'm not giving you a clue. I talked about baseball a little bit. You can kind of get a clue from that. I'm leaving it alone. 8 tickets to Hooters Hotel and Casino to see the hilarious 7, 876-1340. That's all you got to do is come up with the answer to that question.
Let's make it happen. Come on.
It's real simple. So get hooked up. So anyways, let's move on real quick while we're doing that. We'll let Magnum take care of that on that end. A couple of other notes, Major League Baseball. We already talked about the Yankees, guys. Their home record's unbelievable, too. 36-15 at home this season. They're on pace to win over 100 games as well. But as of late, even though Giancarlo Stanton's finally smacking the ball, getting close to the 300 mark, you know, starting to really hit him out of the park. He's doing his job at the plate, but how about the Yankees ace, man? This guy has been almost unhittable, especially at home. Luis Severino, this guy, he's struggling. And yesterday, man, it's amazing. Do you know that Severino has not lost a game in Yankee Stadium in 334 days before yesterday? 1.64 ERA at home, the lowest in Major League Baseball, and yet 6 runs allowed yesterday. He was bumped again from the mound, and that's going to hurt the Yankees. This guy has got to get back on track. I mean, he has been absolutely lights out this year.
He was on Cy Young watch, man, to be in the start of the season.
Come on.
And now
1.64 at home is unbelievable. He hadn't given up 6 runs in like his last 4 starts at home, and he did it in yesterday's game. Real quick, we do got to go to break in a minute, but before that, you know, training camp started in the NFL. And we were talking about a little bit of a lap beforehand. But before this season starts, Tom Brady will be 41 years old. He's 6 days away from that date. And they will be without Julian Edelman, who missed all last season with a torn ACL. Well, he's going to miss the first 4 games. If you haven't heard and you've been in the closet, football players, for violating the NFL's PED policy. This is Tom Brady. If you got that, Mags, for us on people are linking him and saying, you know, comparing it to Alex Rodriguez. The two of them are buddies. And this is what Tom Brady had to say when asked this question.
When Julian tested positive, a lot of people connected it to Alex Guerrero. Just, what's your reaction to that? Do you think it's fair?
I have no comments. Yeah, just ridiculous.
Tom.
Yeah, that's Tom Brady. See you later. Just kind of like, no, Mags, what do you think?
well, it's not Alex Rodriguez. It's Alex Guerrero, who was his trainer.
Excuse me, his trainer,
his trainer, who, mind you, the Patriots kicked out of the building last year, and they barred him from being on the sideline during, I believe it was home games, and he cannot travel with the team.
Look, I was kind of surprised, Edelman, after all that, Mags. I'm surprised he appealed it. Why not just accept it?
Well, because the NFL didn't. There was a mistake made with the sample. He did test positive, but I think the league didn't know what he tested positive for, but they knew it was some kind of performance enhancing drug. Look, there's a lot going on in New England. There's a lot of back and forth, you know, you have the whole thing with Belichick trading away Jimmy Garoppolo, who was the heir apparent, I think just to spite Robert Kraft, because Robert Kraft was like, you know what, Brady's my guy. If Robert Kraft had his way, he'd have Tom Brady until he was 50, whether he could play or not.
I don't think it was a Belichick thing getting rid of Garoppolo.
I absolutely, because I
think Robert Kraft basically said, get him out of here, from what I understand.
Well, I think Belichick will leave when Brady leaves. I think they will leave together. And
even though they have their differences,
and I don't think Belichick is the kind of guy where I don't really think he cares about Robert Kraft one way or the other. I mean, it's his owner, but Belichick is a football guy. He doesn't care much for personal relationships. So I think it was kind of a way to stick it. Look, you know what? You're gonna force me to do things I don't want to do, that I'm gonna trade away, because Belichick's a GM. So Belichick doesn't have to trade away anyone if he doesn't feel like it.
If Robert Kraft says you're trading somebody away, you're trading them away.
What's Kraft going to do? Fire him?
You got a point.
The way things are going now, who knows?
I mean, you got a point.
Getting back to the Brady thing, there's definitely something going on. Because if you watch that special that they had on Facebook about Brady and his training, there's no way that Brady, and I'm not implying that he's doing anything illegal, but it defies logic that at 40 years old, he's in better shape than he was when he was 25.
You know, I've said this year, and I'm going to say this. I said the same thing about Marc-Andre Fleury, that I think we're going to see a drop-off. I think we will see a drop-off in Brady this year. Edelman hurts him. I mean, these guys, they've hooked up a tremendous amount, like 336 receptions from 2013 to 2016.
Yeah, that's a lot of production.
Most by a quarterback and wide receiver. Last year, of course, Edelman, as we talked about, missed it. I think you're going to see a fall off from Brady this year. I don't want to predict anybody getting injured, but 41, that when you get over that mark, I am sorry, your body changes. I don't care how good a shape you're in, you can't outrun Mother Nature. Everyone's found that out in time, and Brady will as well. I want to talk, if we get to the end of the show later on, we'll try to talk about some of the quarterback changes and what you think. Cousins with his $84 million contract in Minnesota, I think they're going to be worse. I really do. I think Case Keenum did something special, and I think we're going to see him do it again with Denver. He's a system quarterback, and I don't know that anybody studies. Case Keenum's like a Drew Brees, just spends all of his time studying the game. I like that a lot. Alex Smith with the Redskins, I think, don't be too excited. And how about Sam Bradford with the Arizona Cardinals? My God in heaven. I promise you.
Another injury waiting to happen?
Cardinal fans, I promise you, you'll see Josh Rosen before the mid-season. And Sam Darnold, sign Magnum's contract already with the New York Jets and get into camp. You need all the work you can get. Trust me, I am not sold on this guy. I haven't been. I think he has natural raw ability. He definitely has the size, but get your ass into camp. This is crazy. And, you know, they already worked it out. It's going to be a $30 million contract. The question is all the little intangibles, and that's what they're fighting over. Listen, we got to take a break. On the other side, we are going to have Alan Snell with the LV Sports Biz Minute, and we're going to do Nightcap as well. And then we've got coming in studio, we have a big surprise for you. Lots of boxers, lots of testosterone. We'll talk all about that. This is Out of Line.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
All right, it is time for Nightcap. And real simple, last week, the day after the show, our boy George McPhee was at it again, and he signed another enforcer. Got William Carrier back. William was hurt for a while during the season. The guy can definitely put the puck in the net. He only had 3 points in 39 games. 37 mm-hmm. games. Only played 9 playoff games. No points there. But he does have soft hands. He's a big guy, and he complements Reeves. They're similar players.
He's only 23 years old.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I think it was a good signing. He's going to get $750,000 a year over the next 2 years. It was a contract, just a 2-year deal. And let me see, what was the total on that deal?
$750,000.
Yeah, yep. So basically $1.5 million for 2 years. So
$725,000 total.
Good deal for him. And also, good article in the paper. Also, Adam Hill actually wrote it about the Knights' offseason moves, and they've been getting criticized. I'm telling you what, do not criticize them for paying Marc-Andre Fleury. Are you kidding me? What he did for this town and that team and hockey in general last season. Give the guy whatever he wants. I don't care if he doesn't play another minute in the NHL. He deserved the money that they're paying him. End of story. That's Nightcap.
100% listen, agree.
On the phone right now, we've got Alan Snell, LVSportsBiz.com. 90-plus thousand subscribers. Sports business is huge in Las Vegas right now. And an article hot off the screen, let's call it that way. Alan, last night talking about the presidents of the Oakland/Las Vegas Raiders, and of course, the Vegas Golden Knights. Familiar with Kerry Buchholz, not so much with the Raiders general or Raiders president yet, but both these guys are hardworking guys that are going to make things happen here in Vegas. One's about to, right?
Hey, good morning, guys. I was fascinated by the different career paths by both Mark Bedane, the president of the Raiders, and Kerry Buchholz, the president of the Golden Knights. Mark Bedane, graduated Emory, took an internship with the Raiders when they were in Los Angeles, I believe, and he's never looked back. He's worked his way up the financial ladder. He was the former chief financial officer. A few years ago, he was officially named the president of the Raiders, and his charge was to deal with the stadium issue that has really caused quite a few problems with the Raiders over the years. In contrast, Kerry Buchholz came to Las Vegas in 2016. He was already a veteran of the sports marketing world. He got his experience in the minor leagues. He's from Oklahoma, and he's a different kind of very different kind of background. But both Buchholz and Bedane are just extremely personable, very friendly. Both of them are really good at getting around the community, and they're both schmoozmeisters in their own way. So we have two very interesting team presidents for our, you know, major league sport teams here in Las Vegas.
Well, you do, and you don't see a guy like you said, like Bedane, that is a lifetime career with a sports franchise. There's very little loyalty in professional sports. The Davis family is one of those families where if you get in and they really are family-oriented, you stick around. And, of course, he has for his entire career. And as you said, Buchholz has been all over the place. Amazing, a guy from Oklahoma finds himself the president of a National Hockey League team. I mean, I don't even know if there's a rink in Oklahoma. So pretty amazing that happens. But I know about him. I know he followed minor league hockey. He was always kind of fascinated. But I'll bet if you would have asked Kerry Buchholz out of college, will you ever be involved with a National Hockey League franchise? I'll bet he probably would have said no. Pretty cool. Great article, Alan. And keep up the great work, man. Love reading your stuff.
Yeah, check out the story. It's great photography as usual in it. And I think it'll be a great Sunday morning read. It's right now the lead story on LVSportsBiz.com, fellas.
At LVSportsBiz.com, definitely at LVSportsBiz, follow Alan and definitely become a subscriber. Again, 90,000 plus strong. Alan Snell, we appreciate you, brother. We'll be talking to you next week.
Terrific. Have a great week, guys.
Absolutely. Listen, we're going to take a real – no, we're not taking a break, are we? We're just going to go right over to it. We got some guys in studio right now looking forward to this. Randy Moreno, we've got Max Ornelas, and we've got the nicknames. I love it. El Matador, and he does look like a matador. I heard the announcers talking about it last night, and, of course, Babyface needs no introduction. You still got that, Babyface. Hopefully you'll have that over years. But, guys, bring down the microphone a little bit if you can so you can jump in. Randy, you just fought Friday night. in Texas. And, you know, I watched the fight. I didn't see it live. Jose sent it to me last night, and I actually watched it on the network, the Roy Jones Fight Network. And, man, it's got to be disturbing. You know, boxing has traditionally been one of my favorite sports. I grew up as a kid watching Muhammad Ali as a real young kid and, you know, fell in love with the sport and his you know, how charismatic he was back then and the heavyweight thing. And now watching boxing over the years, you see some good and you see some bad. It was hard to watch you get basically TKO'd when you had won every round, I thought pretty soundly to that point. How do you swallow something like that and move forward?
You know, this isn't my first time. Both of my losses have been robberies, in my opinion. There was nothing I can do at that point. I tried everything to convince the doctors, convince the referee, even on the big screen, the cut that I received was caused by a headbutt, and
100%.
Oh yeah, 100%. They even played it frame by frame on the big screen, and there was just nothing I can do for them to switch their decision. They freeze it on the big screen, and yet the referee didn't want to switch the decision. So from that point on, it was totally out of my control, but there's nothing I can do and except for, you know, swallow it and keep moving forward and keep working hard. And, you know, this isn't the enemy. This is just the beginning.
Well, hey, Gil, I had a quick question for you because I was watching the fight and I saw when the cut happened, when you guys were in the corner, you stopped the cut, the bleeding, everything was fine. Normally in a fight, they let you continue. Now, if it's a bad cut where it's you got the, you know, you got the oil in there and everything just dripping out, I get it. But that wasn't the case. The cut was pretty cleared up. He looked like he was ready to go. I mean, why do you think they stopped it?
You know, that's a good question. You know, when I was working on it, they came to look at it. You know, I knew it was a pretty deep cut, but I did stop the blood. It wasn't bleeding. And, you know, the referee was completely lost. He was lost. He didn't know what to do. I think that his ego got in the way of him correcting himself because he knew he had made a mistake. And I'm watching the referee, and he's walking around, and I could see it in his face. He's just lost. He doesn't know what he's doing. He even allowed the next round to continue. Like, the bell rang for the next round. So I was thinking, oh, okay, they're going to let it go. Even after the doctor had told the referee that to stop the fight, but he never waved it off. Then I see him being called over by the commission because even the commission probably didn't know what was going on. But by that point, I think that he had made his decision, and
he was just going to stick with it at that point,
no matter what. And you know, it was clear as day what had happened. They kept replaying it on the screen. A punch did land, but it was on the cheekbone and more of the face. Then you see, and then there's separation after that punch. There's no blood. And then you see them clashing heads. The head hits him right below the eyebrow. And then you see the blood coming after that. So it was very clear. And unfortunately, I think that referee let his ego get in the way of him, you know, correcting himself.
No, you know, I think he, like you said, he painted himself into a corner and he couldn't get out of it. But you look at this now, and I mean, I'll tell you, Randy, watching the fight, what a fundamentally sound boxer you are. It was a pleasure to watch you fight. And I'm not saying it because you're sitting next to me and I'm worried about getting hit. I'm saying it because, you know, honestly, it was just the technical part of the game. You really have it down. A great puncher. You know, what I saw is you utilize your jab very, very well. You really mix it up and very cerebral in the ring. But when you take a loss like this, you know, a year down the road, Gil, this is a loss. And it is inhibiting. Losses are losses on your card. There's nothing you can do to erase them. It's like bad credit when a credit company, you didn't do something wrong, but they don't go away.
Right.
What do you do to correct this? Is there a way? I know you had mentioned you're looking at potentially turning it around or trying, but is there really a way to get that done?
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to file a complaint with the Texas Athletic Commission. And we are going to be sending film showing three different angles of the headbutt. And there has been fights that have been overturned. So we're hoping that the Texas Commission does the correct thing and the right thing to do in this occasion and in this situation, and that they overturn it. Whether they can even give us a no contest, even though we were winning, and if they're going to stop the fight, four rounds were completed, so they should have gone to the scorecards because it was a headbutt. So whether we win or they don't reverse the decision, we still are going to look for a rematch because we can stop that guy. Randy was on his way to stopping him. He was landing more. He was making him miss more.
The guy was getting frustrated. Your length was a problem for him. That's what the biggest thing that I noticed as well.
So that's what we're going to, that's our next step. So tomorrow morning, Keith and Roy and myself, we're going to send out the paperwork needed to the commission there. And hopefully, like I said, they do the right thing and overturn this decision.
A fight like that, he's a bit unorthodox, southpaw, low center of gravity. You really have to prepare. And the thing I kept seeing is he really seemed to lunge. Every punch he lunges. Guys like that, the last guy I remember watching was a big guy way before your time. Gil's heard of him, maybe watched him before, but a guy named Ernie Shavers in the heavyweight bit. Similar type of short, low center of gravity, and he was a one-punch guy. Those lunging punches, as long as you never got hit by him, he usually were able to beat Ernie. But if Ernie landed one of those bombs, you were out like a light. This guy had that kind of power. You were aware of it. And every time you'd step back and try to counter, was that kind of the game plan with him?
We worked a lot during training camp with southpaws. I was just utilizing my speed. Keeping my jab out there, using my angles, just to confuse him and give him different looks so he would never anticipate or get into his rhythm. I was always the one pushing the pace, and he didn't know what to do. And then by the second and third round, he was already getting tired. And that's when I started letting him come in and so he can get more tired and use that to my advantage. But unfortunately, he, came in with his head and cut me, and that was that. I mean, I was ready to fight after the cut happened. I seen him standing up, and the referee didn't wave it off. So, that's what we train for. We're ready for anything as a fighter, as a boxer. We're ready to go at any time. And, for them to stop it like that, man, it was I was at a loss for words at the moment.
Yeah, I can imagine. You go out, you almost feel cheated. And watching the fight, I felt as a spectator cheated. I wanted to see more. I wanted to see you finish him off. I really appreciated the discipline. And even the announcers, Grease Hopper, I think, is one of them, was just talking about, how fundamentally sound you are. And one of the things they said, Gil, about Randy that I really enjoyed was that he's a guy you never have to stay on. That you get done working out and he's texting you and calling you to ask you about the workout that day. And after a fight, he wants to go over the fight. He wants to rehash it right afterwards. After this one, did you want to watch it, or did you need a little bit of time to get over it?
I wanted to watch it. I've only watched the last round. Like I said, I know throughout the whole fight, I was winning the fight. But still, I'm gonna go over it several times to see what I can do differently to improve. And like Coach said, even if they do reverse the decision, even if they do give me the win, I would still like a rematch, because deep down inside, I know I wouldn't be happy with a victory like that. And for him to stand on top of the ropes and raise his hands like he was victorious. It was
like, come on, man, you didn't really do nothing.
Yeah, he knew he wasn't the real winner. And even if they reverse the decision and give me the win, I would offer him a rematch just to prove to everyone and to myself that I could have stopped him.
Well, I think in all fairness, Randy, you don't have to prove it to anybody. I think anybody watching the fight that really is non-biased and watches the fight as a spectator, understands the sport, knows you won the fight. On the card, you were way ahead. There was definitely more rounds to come, but I just didn't see with the technical skill you were displaying and his unorthodox style, I thought he was going to be in trouble as the round went on. You seemed to be getting stronger, and as Jose mentioned earlier, your length really has to be an advantage to you in that weight class when you fight a shorter opponent like that.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes fighting a shorter opponent, sometimes it's more difficult because you got to change levels, especially with a shorter fighter. He was swinging for the fences trying to knock me out, and I was using my skills, you know, moving my head, using my jab, using my angles. You know, everything I used during training camp came out in the fight. You know, I was ready for anything he had for me.
Well, the man, El Matador, now has a scar that, hey, the ladies will like that, man. That's going to be that's going to be a nice one. You know what I mean? Come on. It looks good. It's above the eye. Before we get over, I want to talk to Max, but I want to ask you, what's next?
Anything and, you know, everybody, you know.
Not me. I mean, I know I'm sitting close to you, but I'm definitely not jumping in the ring anytime soon. So
no, anybody at 130, I want them from – you know, from Lomachenko to Gervonta Davis.
Oh,
anybody.
Wow. Look at that.
You know, anybody. I'm not scared of nobody. I fight anybody at any time. And, you know, that's why I do this. So I can fight the top people in boxing. You know, and you know, if they're looking for a fight, I'm here, man.
You can tell that you absolutely love it. Mags, let's take that second break so we don't. I want to come back. I want to talk to Max. I want to talk to Gil some more as well. And again, congratulations on your victory that wasn't a victory. And we'll be watching in the future. And, you know, I know his statements were kind of boastful, Jose, but watching this guy and listening to them was my first time seeing him. You know, I've been watching the sport a long time, man. You have a great future in front of you. Put this one behind you. Keep working with this guy because whatever you're doing, it is right. I love the fundamentals. I love the cerebralness in the ring. You can see you are a true boxer, and people are going to have trouble with you, man. I look forward to big things from you down the road.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys for having me on.
No problem, man. All right. Listen, this is Out of Line. We'll be right back. We're going to talk to Max, the babyface assassin, Ornelas, and his trainer as well. Same guy, Gil Martinez, right after this.
This. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah, it is a fact, as we said, as you just heard this past Friday in Laredo, Texas. Ultimately, because of the headbutt, a decision was made to award Victor Rosas a tactical knockout. Rosas, in most people's opinion, lost every round, like you just heard we talked about. And Randy El Matador Moreno was a heavy favorite and took the loss. And again, this to me was highway robbery and another black eye to a sport that I've always enjoyed, but have, you know, one more black eye, man. This is just one more occasion where I'm shaking my head and I'm ashamed of it. We'll move over now. We've got another fight coming up to look forward to. We'll definitely look forward to seeing Randy down the road. I'm really looking forward to see that rematch here in Vegas. Although, do me a favor, because I got a feeling you're so angry about it, it's probably going to be only one round. Give us like two rounds so we get our money's worth driving out there and stuff, you know? Because I think it's going to be quick, man.
He's
going to make sure that we all know this guy's ass is grass the next time they fight. But also in here right now, we have Max. Max has been in here before with us, the babyface assassin. We got to see you win the last time out at Cox Pavilion. Now you're going to be up at Red Rock fighting in a couple weeks. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I've been in training camp for a while now, and I'm excited. I'm ready for August 10th.
August 10th, 7 o'clock. Get your tickets now. Should be a pretty good fight. The one thing, and I will tell you, I see the same thing I see absolute determination when I see you fight. I see it in your face, and I see the love for the sport. If I saw anything last fight, and I am not a connoisseur, I am not a judge, I am nothing, the one thing I saw is your hands up a little higher. Mm-hmm. Is that something you've been working on a little bit more on defense to keep your hands up a little more and guard yourself a little bit better?
Yeah, that's something I've been working on, but I also like to keep my hands loose just so it could help me with the head movement, but
The head movement, yeah, a little bit more head movement probably in it too. Otherwise, and like I said, I just love the sport, so it's just my observation. But what do you do to correct something like that? Like, you're obviously seeing that, Gil, in the fights. What do you do with Max to correct something like that and make sure he's a little bit? Because, you know, it's like in any sport, and, you know, boxing's the same way. Defense wins championships. You got to make sure you're sound defensively to have a good offensive game, right?
Correct. You know, I truly believe that I have to let my fighters be themselves. I don't want robots in there. I want them to feel comfortable. I want them to fight their fight the way that they are wired to fight. One of the things, everybody has a different defense. You know, some you know, have where they need to have their hands up and they're counterpunch off of that. Max is not a counterpuncher of that nature. The way he holds his hands actually help him with the head movement for his speed. So bringing his hands up is not something that I worry about too much. He has good defense, good reflexes. If his hands down, he can block from there. But the way that he fights, if I try to change him too much, it would not benefit him. I'll give you an example. Oscar De La Hoya, great fighter. When he came to train with Mayweather, they tried to change him. That was not him. That did not work for him. He's not that shoulder roll kind of fighter. That did not allow him to be the fighter that he was. You know, there's people that you know, Pernell Whitaker, if you would have told him, I need your hands up here, he would have never done what he did. Those people need to be able to move freely in there and do what they are meant to do. And I see Maxi in that same boat there.
Yeah, fighting to his strengths is what you're saying, and I think that's what everyone does, playing to their strengths in sports, fighting to their strengths. What are you looking for in this match? What are you most concerned about, and what do you think gives you an advantage in the fight coming up?
Well, we know that he's a very tough opponent. He's undefeated with a lot of experience, a lot more experience than Maxi has. But his aggressiveness is going to play into Maxi's favor. Max is a very good counterpuncher. And a lot of people underestimate Maxi. Everybody that he's fought, they've all underestimated him because they think he's too young. And another thing that they...
Well, I mean, he looks like he's 12 years old, right? I mean, come on. I mean, I don't underestimate. I'm not getting anywhere close to the kid. But, I mean, come on. There's a reason they call him Babyface. So do you think that is to his advantage that they look at him like, oh, come on, he looks like a young kid. And then he goes out there and kicks their ass, right?
Oh, yeah. And it's definitely works for him, you know. And then another thing that people don't realize is his power and his body shots. I mean... He's dropped numerous people in the gym. You know, once somebody feels his body shot, it changes their whole game plan.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I saw the body shot skill. I was there, and two of them, I was sitting ringside. Two of them hurt me, okay? Two of them hurt me. I went down for an 8-count twice from his body shots outside the ring. So we know what Max can do. Last question. We're rolling along here. But, Max, I want to ask you, you know, in Rocky III, they asked Mr. T his prediction for the second Rocky fight, and he said, my prediction is pain. So I'm going to ask you the same question right now. Max, what's your prediction for this fight?
I have the same answer, pain.
I like it. How original. What's your prediction? How long is it going, and what's going to be the outcome?
Normally, I don't like to predict, but hopefully I can end it early. I can work off my jab and hopefully get him out of there early.
Okay, try to take it easy on me in the first round again, man. I'm old. That hurt last time. Hey, we appreciate all these guys in town. We got trainer Gil Martinez. We've got Max, the Babyface Assassin, Ornelas, and, of course, Randy El Matador Moreno, who will be back in with a vengeance very soon. We appreciate you guys coming out to Red Rock in a couple of weeks and check out Max, man. Tickets available now. We will be out there. I'm looking forward to it, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Oh, absolutely, guys.
Anytime, guys. Thank you. Anytime.
Absolutely. Go ahead. You can say thank you, too. I'm not leaving either one of these guys out. They got to be my friends, man.
We appreciate it, man.
All right. Listen, we'll finish up here. We got the Las Vegas 51s report. We're going to do that real quickly with you guys sitting in the studio. So hang around for a second. We're going to do a little Facebook Live after the show for a minute. But I wanted to do the 51s report. Jose, we got to get out to a game again soon. It's been about a couple weeks.
You said we're going tonight, so I don't know.
We might still go tonight. It all depends.
There you go.
All right, well, I'll go tonight. I'll just go without sleep. Well, who needs sleep anyways, right? 51s are in town. They are playing tonight. And let me take a look here. I think they're in town tonight and tomorrow, and then they're off on Tuesday, and then they head out of town. They're in Omaha. They're in Iowa, and they're gone until the 9th of August if you don't catch them tonight or tomorrow. They're playing the Memphis Redbirds, and that's usually a good game, right? Okay. Hey, it is time to take a break. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and wrap things up. This is Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio, home of the Vegas Golden Knights. 4-3-2-1 All right, wrapping up. This is Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio. Every Sunday we're here. I'm Brian Feldman, along with Jose Valente and Chris Magnum Chapman behind the wheels of steel, and we are wrapping things up here on the final Sunday in July. Next week at this time will be in August, and the Major League Baseball trading deadline will be over as everyone makes their move. Matt Harvey, one of those hot guys on the list for the Cincinnati Reds, and you know what? The way he pitched yesterday, I'll bet a lot of teams shook their head and said, see ya.
And then final thing, the WNBA All-Star Game will be here. Next year, baby.
It surely will. That is official. Next year at the Mandalay Bay Event Center, 10,000 people strong. They had over 15,000 people yesterday. And Asia, man, 18 points in the game and a loss. She was with the Deladonte.
Kayla McBride lost in the three-point contest, but it was a tie.
I want to thank everyone today who showed up. Alan Snell for giving us a call. Of course, for the guys coming in from Roy Jones Jr. Boxing facility out here in Las Vegas. Trainer Gil Martinez. We got, again, Max, Babyface Assassin, Ornelas, and Randy El Matador. Moreno, great having you guys in studio again. I'm Brian Feldman. I want to thank Jose Valente, Chris Magnum Chapman. We will be back same time, same place next week. We're out. Bye-bye.